Gadget in 406. Hey, Brett, happy 2019, my friend.
Indeed, happy 2019 or whatever technical day of the week it is. I'm so messed up on if it's Wednesday or Thursday or is it really Monday? What is it technically?
Yeah, that is a great point. It is Wednesday, January 2nd. And last night, coming home, I had I went to a New Year's Day party. And it was a bit like a New Year's Eve party, if you know what I'm saying. But anyway, when I was walking in the house, I was having to say out loud, what day is it today? What day of the week? Like, I have totally lost track. But it is, am I right? I should double check right now that it is Wednesday. I think it is. I think
it's, it is. Actually, it's just easier when Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are a Saturday, Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's because that's what happens to nearly all of us. I've realized is you just start thinking every holiday is that weekend. And then you're, I don't know, you're just guessing. It's like time change Sunday. It just throws me off forever. But hey, a lot of people like thinking about the new year, so I would love to hear people's thoughts if they have something they are looking forward to happening in 2019. Now, this doesn't have to be your own promise. This doesn't even have to be something that you think is possible. But is there something that you want to share out loud with the rest of us that you would love to see happen in 2019? So give us a call, 952-946-6205, 952-946. 6205. And if you, and we're going to do this all hour. So you can call at any time. We'll be talking about other things. But if you get the, if something strikes you as, you know, that there's something you want to consider in 2019, go ahead and do so. Well, how about you, Brett? Do you keep a list of things that you're going to do in your own life? Are you one of these, New Year's, resolution makers?
Oh, no, and that just annoys me when I see those New Year, New Me posts, although I think those went out of date a while ago. But no, I'm not a resolution person because why would you wait till January 1st? If you need to improve something in your life, do it when you need to do it. Don't wait till the new year.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I guess almost all those things that I have on my list of like, okay, in 2019, I'm going to get serious about are just all things that I wasn't willing to do in December. Right. So they were all something that I was just putting off. But I have a couple of those. I don't know why I've done them. What one is I'm going to try to clean up the workshop area in my house. In my basement, I have like a place for tools and stuff that doesn't belong anywhere else in the house. And I have decided unacceptable the state of its disorganization. So in 2019, I'm like, I'm gonna clean that thing up, and by golly, if I take a screwdriver down, I'm gonna put the screwdriver back where it belongs. I'm making that kind of promise to myself.
Is your studio on the same floor as this work area you're talking about?
It is, yeah. The Bunker of Freedom studio is right on the other side of a door. In fact, I'm looking at that door right now, and I keep that door shut.
Oh, so you can't turn the camera during the break and give people maybe a sneak peek of the mess you have to clean up.
You know what? I could on Facebook for the Facebook live feed. I think I can do that. I will open the door, and then I will go into that deep dark shame spiral that people go into. You know, when they have an unkept area in their life. So that's as far. And I have decided that today, and I'm trying this right now, I'm sitting on one of those big exercise balls instead of sitting in a chair. People use like a big exercise ball as a chair so that they can like work on core strength and have to hold themselves up. You have to hold yourself upright because it kind of moves around and it engages your hips and your back and your core. I'm sitting on one of those right now. I'm going to give that a try for a couple of weeks and see if that can become my norm.
That's interesting doing that during a show, because you could easily like move further and further away from the mic as you try to slide around. Unless you got good balance, then you're probably covered.
Well, I'm finding that reality that you're naming right now as we talk. I'm having to sort of lean forward and swing my hips and all the rest of it. So I'm already feeling the snug tightness of my back and hips. And, you know, I sat down a few minutes before we went on air here. But, you know, 5 minutes in, And I'm already like, oh, this is unreasonable. There's not a chance, which is how I view most New Year's resolutions that I've ever made in my life. You get about 5 minutes into the new world and, you know, that's it. Give it up. Mm-hmm. Sort of goes away. But if people have something they're looking forward to, I would love to hear it. 952-946-6205. Give us a call. And it can be, again, it can be fancy. It can be significant. It can be, you know, just something something small and simple. But I'll tell you, we are going to be moving through the year without Mean Gene Okerlund. Big news in for those from the 1970s and earlier in Minnesota. Gene Okerlund was a of my childhood growing up here in Golden Valley. I grew up right down the highway from the Channel 11 studios, now known as Care 11. And back then, I actually think it was Channel 9 was in that building. I think they switched numbers. But anyway, they that's where they held the professional wrestling, and Mean Gene Okerlund was the host. He was the interviewer. He was sort of the MC of the whole thing, and he has passed away at age 76. And did you follow wrestling?
I did, yeah. Well, a little before my time, so I followed him more when he was in WCW in the 90s. But it was funny reading the Star Tribune article about him, because they interviewed Jesse Ventura, and they were talking about how he kind of got into hosting that gig accidentally, where he was working as, I guess, a sales executive over there, and Vern Gagne needed a fill-in and made Mean Gene Okerlund do it, and that's how it ended up happening.
Yeah, he was a radio guy and well, like, did sales. Like, he was selling ads and walking down the hallway on a day when they needed him. And I think it was probably a Saturday morning, and they just hauled him in and said, "You've got a host." And he said, "I don't know anything about wrestling." And so he would wear a suit, a classy sort of, of the day, vintage, mid-70s.
You describe it as a leisure suit, pretty much.
A leisure suit. Yeah, with that. Even the picture that they have on the Star Tribune website is the classic look. I mean, standing there with Jesse Ventura and another guy. And I was next to Gene Okerlund on a number of occasions, because literally, I mean, almost every Saturday we would go over and watch the professional wrestling. It was spectacular. As a kid, because the room that the matches took place in, that looked to a child, massive on television, was, I mean, it was probably a 20-foot by 20-foot wide room with a 10-foot by 10-foot ring in the thing. It was teeny, with a little bleacher set, and then 12 feet over is on the other side of a whole half wall is where they would do the interviews. So as a kid, 10, 12 years old, these huge wrestlers, you know, Hulk Hogan and Jesse Ventura and Andre the Giant, were in this space. And Gene Okerlund was probably, I don't know, 5'5" or 5'6", 5'7", maybe something like that. He was not a big man compared to the size of these mammoth professional wrestlers. And he seemed like to my mind as a kid, when I wasn't sure if wrestling was real or not, you know, yeah, I don't want to be a big spoiler for anybody, but you know, it's more difficult. What professional wrestlers do with their bodies is more difficult because they have to not hurt one another than it would be if they were just actually wrestling or punching or trying to hurt one another. Right. I mean, like, their careers would be much shorter, but having to keep a career going at the level that these athletes do in choreographed fake fights is seriously impressive, right? But it's fake in the sense that it is it was not real. But Gene Okerlund, to me as a kid, he was like the legitimizing factor of the whole thing, because he was like he felt like my dad. He's over there in a suit. He's interviewing these guys with real like questions, you know, like some other interviewer would do in regular sports. And the Mean Gene has a place in my psyche as a, you know, 52-year-old man from Minneapolis area. That's so tribute to that guy, Mean Gene Okerlund. We're gonna get on without him. I actually didn't know what had become of him. So when I heard today that he had died, I was one of those like stars, you know, one of those famous people from my past that I thought, oh, is he still alive? like, you know, I was sad that he died, but it was also like he easily could have died and I would have missed it. You know, if I wasn't paying attention to the news on a day like today, that would have been something I easily could have missed. But a big tribute to him and to the way that he put Minnesota on the map. It was I always felt, even when he moved on to, as you say, the WEW or whatever. And then
I was surprised that he was 76. I thought he was a lot older, because to me, he always looked like he was 50 or 60 years old, even back in like the 70s or 80s. I thought he would have been in the late 80s or early 90s at this point. So,
you know, that is a great point, because I was trying to do the math and I'm thinking, okay, so he's 24 years older than I am. So when I'm 12, 10, like, this guy's in his early 30s, and I thought he was an old man when I was a kid. Like you say, he just had that presence, I think, is of that hairline and the mustache and the suits and just the whole shtick. He was a great Minnesota commodity. I think he was one of the, and then I know that years ago he moved to Florida, where he is from. So I'm sure Florida sort of claims him, but, I like thinking of him as a Minnesotan. And hey, I read another thing on the Star Tribune website for those of thinking about their, honestly, how to have a better year in 2019. And what most theorists and philosophers and advice givers tell you, if you want to have a great year, you not only pursue some level of success, because you can hit success, and success apparently makes people feel like they're doing well in a new year. But the biggest thing about feeling like you're having a great year is to ratchet down your expectations. So all the people who do this kind of work say, hey, if you want to have a great year, lower your expectations and make it much more reasonable. So, I think we should cheer people on to greatness, but also sort of ratchet down their expectations. I think if Donald Trump has not taught me anything, it is ratchet down your expectations, because there's a guy who can underachieve at the greatest of levels. All right, when we come back, I want to chat a little bit about Klobuchar running for president. It sounds like she's going to, and people on their own driveways and all the rest. So AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Well, on a summer night, oh, in a dusky room.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
Tom Hartman here, telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
Hey, Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norman Goldman Show. Today on the show, we're back. We're live. It's January the 2nd, and we are here. Let's catch up on where we were. Where are we going? The Democrats have the House tomorrow.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles, so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies. We'll steal what we can from the treasures,
of the Lord. It's a long, long drought. Hey, welcome back, AM 950 listeners. I'd like to add you in. And happy 2019. The sky outside has cleared. It's starting into those January days of big blue skies, cold weather, and getting brighter every day. So, you know, we're a couple of weeks now past the solstice, and just keep hanging in there for the bright wintry days. And hey, the legislature is going to hop into session next Tuesday, and I'm really looking forward to this. We're going to have some conversations here on the show with some of the new legislators, both at the state and some of the Minnesota legislators in Congress. But I'm really looking forward to the state getting back into session and seeing what they've got going on. So stick to it with that. Talking a little bit about the new year, and if you have a new year's hope, something you're looking forward to in 2019, I'd love to hear from you. 952-946-6205. I'm working the ball here, sitting on an exercise ball instead of a chair, because I feel like for 1 hour a day, you know, when I do the show, I can get a little extra core work in, and it's killing me. So my goal today, simply to make it an hour. Which might be a long time. I don't know. I've never used one of these balls for a desk for a desk chair before. Hey, and a little tip: if you're looking for some holiday or for some New Year television watching, and you use Amazon Prime, or you can get access to Amazon Prime television shows. You know, they produce their own TV. You can watch it on your computer, your phone, or your television set. It's really great. There's a show called One Mississippi. Brett, are you familiar with this show?
No, I'm only a Netflix guy, so I'm not familiar with this one.
Yeah, One Mississippi. You know, if you pay for Amazon, Prime delivery, then you get to also watch TV shows they produce. But One Mississippi is a great little dark comedy is the wrong word, but sort of a sophisticated comedy half an hour show about a comedian woman. So it's anyway, it's really great. So that's my tip if somebody's looking forward to seeing some kind of some kind of new television this particular year. Hey, it looks like Amy Klobuchar is still contemplating whether she's going to run for president or not. And I've changed my tune on this a bit. I was apprehensive. I mean, I'm still going to, if she does run, which now I've changed my mind. I hope she does. I still want to hold her feet to the fire of her current job responsibilities, because I'm not a fan of politicians running for another job and not fulfilling the job that they're currently in. I think it's really important that all of our politicians, that all of our government function the way that it should, so we have a solid baseline by which to determine if a politician is doing their job and if the government is acting the way that it should. So I'm not for government shutdowns, and I'm not for people running for office while they're in another office. But having said all that, assuming she can do both things, I'm sort of looking forward to a Minnesota politician leading the conversation and considering her run. So I know she has a lot of things to consider, and I'll just be honest, she has not asked me my opinion about this, but I'm going to offer it anyway. I hope she does run, and I hope that I find her sometimes to be not as boldly progressive as I would like Minnesota politicians to be. I get that she finds a place of common ground. Common ground is her thing. I get all of that. I'm not entirely sure that she has the temperament, personality, flair, fire, zip that it's going to take to attract national attention to be the kind of politician that can win. So I'm not entirely sure about that. But I would like it to be a Minnesotan. I think she has some, I think her perspective on a number of things is good. And so I'm hopeful that she's going to run. And I would also love to know if what other people are thinking of this. And not just if you're an Amy Klobuchar fan. Right, I know there's a number of listeners to the show, and I've certainly felt this in the past too. That I have all kinds of beefs with some of her policy positions, and for me, some of her cautiousness, I don't think serves the situation well for the state. But that might be a different role running for president, and they're really different jobs. You know, being the president is not just the upgraded version of being a senator, nor is it an upgraded version of being a governor. It's a different job. It's a different role altogether. It's a bit like the way that people in school systems who are school teachers and someone asks them if they want to become a principal or an administrator, they recognize, oh, that's a really different job. That's a whole other thing that you do when you are a president, or rather than being a senator, or a administrator versus being a school teacher. So being a senator is one job and being the president's another. And I'd be interested in what her temperament, what her style is like, because one of the things I think a president needs to do in our current environment is needs to think about the constituents of the entire country, those who can vote and those who did not vote for that president, and those who can't vote and those who voted for that person as president. I think we've had too long with too many politicians, and I'd throw all of them from the last 25 years into the category of thinking more about how they build their base and feed their constituency as president, rather than thinking about how they represent the entire country, even people who didn't vote for them, either because they couldn't or chose not to. So Amy Klobuchar is running. That's one of the things I'm thinking about in 2019. It's one of the things that I hope happens. And hey, Julie, you've got some thoughts yourself on your hopes for 2019.
You know, I have a little fantasy. You know, I heard that I'm not knowledgeable about professional wrestling, but I heard in professional wrestling there's a heel and a face, you know, a bad guy and a good guy. And what the president has done masterfully is he's played the part of a professional wrestler, and the media has reacted by, like CBS Today said, and it's Pelosi versus the president. They're going at it, you know, and I'd love to see the Democrats voting, you know, that are running for the presidency come out and call him out on what he's doing.
Nice.
And just be really upfront about it and see what happens. What do you think? Are you knowledgeable about wrestling? Can you fill me in?
Julie, I think you're onto something. I am knowledgeable about wrestling, more knowledgeable about it than I'm proud of. And I think you're exactly right. And not only are you right, sort of in as a metaphor, I think you're actually right about it as the actual learning that Donald Trump has, because he was a part owner, or at least very deeply connected with the McMahons, who are the owners of the WWF.
Oh, they're very wrestling. Close friends. Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, they were going to appoint her to some Julie McMahon, I think. No, is that her name? To be some kind of somebody in the White House or some kind of an advisor. So I think they're deeply, deeply connected, literally into the professional wrestling narrative and how you create a good guy and a bad guy in a crisis, and you move from sort of event to event, creating a storyline arc. In a lot of ways, professional wrestling was the early reality television, right? Reality television took its narrative from wrestling. And you might know that it was, one of the people that produces reality television that sort of brought Donald Trump out of bankruptcy and sort of celebrity humiliation in the early 2000s by launching The Apprentice, and created that in the modality of professional wrestling. So I think he is the professional wrestling president. And I think it's so wise of you to say, what if Democrats just started calling him on that and said that real life and the real life presidency is too serious for you to keep running it like it's some sort of professional wrestling gig.
I got a quick question. Is Mueller, as a distraction thing, is Mueller and his staff working now that there's a shutdown of the federal government? Because I haven't heard a word, you know?
Who's that you're asking about?
I'm wondering if Mueller is working, if he's investigating the president and his family. Are they going, are they doing the investigation Mueller. Process? Because I think Mueller's office is a federal office, isn't it?
It is. But from what I understand, the part of the government that shut down, which is only one portion of it, does not include Mueller's investigation. And they're moving ahead with all funding that they had previous to the shutdown. So I don't think they've been affected by the shutdown at all. Hey, thanks, Julie. Really
all
appreciate
right.
it. Hey,
well,
Rich, if you can hold on, we're going to.
Yeah,
you bet. Well, thanks for your insight. We're going to be back here after the break. And Rich, if you can hold on, I'd love to hear about the Klobuchar-Trump matchup that you're thinking about. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Back after the break.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM 950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM 950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Hi, Gregory Rich, founder and chief at Habitation Furnishing and Design, and now I'd like to invite you to kill your Sunday evenings with me right here on AM 950 with Drink in the Style. It's a one-hour-long conversation of interior design, art, architecture, and pretty much anything else visual and aesthetic, all while enjoying some booze handcrafted by our friends at Mill Valley Kitchen. Can you think of a better way to spend Sunday evenings? Drink in the Style, Sundays. 5 p.m.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit brendingelectrolysis.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 20. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 16. Thursday, sunny with a high near 35. And Friday, sunny with a high around 39. From delicious restaurants to bookstores to computers and technology to health and wellness and home and auto, you'll find it all at the AM 950 advertisers. By supporting our advertisers, you not only help AM 950, but you also support great local Minnesota businesses too. Find a full list of our advertisers at am950radio.com.
Hey, welcome back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, 434 on Wednesday, the second day in 2019. And I got to tell you, I don't mean to brag, but I'm having the best year of my life. I've returned every email this year. I've returned every phone call. I'm all caught up on my work obligations in 2019. I'm killing it.
I think you just ought to end the year right here, don't you?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I might be claiming victory a little early, being sort of 2 days in, and one of those being the first day of the year, New Year's Day. But I'll take it. Getting all my stuff done today, including sitting on a ball and trying to fight off a back cramp in the middle of this radio show. I'll tell you what, if you want to work your core, sit on a ball. One of these big filled up, mine's a 65 centimeter, a big puffy ball. Hey, Rich from Minneapolis, you have some thoughts about the Klobuchar-Trump matchup.
Well, I think Amy can hold her own, and she'd be just fine. But I think because of all of the damage that this scum bucket Trump has done internationally and here, that we need a guy or a lady. But now my eyes are on Biden, somebody that's been around long enough to know where we need rebuilding and restructuring from what that dog had, the damage that Trump has done. And so I'm kind of leaning towards Biden. But on as far as Trump goes, did you hear what the idiot said today? That he actually said that he thinks he would be a good general, when all the generals that he has hired and now left have at one time or other called him a moron or an idiot. But there is one. There's a place where Doug. There's a place where he'd be a good general. It's where the racist pig traitors of America were generals, and that's the Confederate Army. He'd fit in real good in the Confederate Army.
Yeah, I get your point. Yeah, thanks, Rich. I mean, I have tried not to talk about Donald Trump incessantly, you know, on the show, but there are days when it's so hard, and watching him devolve over the last 11 days as General Crystal, as Kelly, as General Petraeus, all of these like name brand, like if you follow a little bit of politics, the name brand generals have all said, I wouldn't work for him, he's immoral, or he doesn't know what he's talking about, to now hear him today say, well, I should actually be a general. It's the kind of devolving of a person that it's hard to watch. Like it's hard for me because I just I'm opposed to so many things. And I think he's such a damage to the country. And I just think we have to stay vigilant in heart, mind, and action during the next 2 years. But to watch this kind of devolving of a person's sense of spirit, it is just really, as you say, pathetic. And I don't know what can be done about it. And I just want to throw in one more comment about that, if I could, Rich, just to jump off your point here. I think our fascination with and our overextension and overtrust in generals from the military as being good leaders and being great people and being the kinds of people that we want giving leadership to this country, I think we need to check that very deeply. It's not clear to me at all that the generals who have chosen to work for Trump did a job very well, that really led the way we needed to be led. There's a reason why even the Pentagon should not rule was to not be led by generals, but to have civilian rule. There's a kind of think that goes on in the military. And if you've been in the military for 30 or 40 years, it does something to you. And I think we grant, partly because Trump seems so non-military and non-professional, and the professionals we can think about who are in our government tend to be those in the military. So there's a sense that we sort of conflate good leadership with the generals. But I think we have to watch it, because if you just total up the brand named generals that we've had across our system, it's not entirely clear that they've served the country all that well. They become just as bought into the system, or in the case of John Kelly, just as partisan hack as anyone to stay in that job for so long and to allow the president to do all the things that he does. I think we really need to check that. And this is why I'm really glad that now we've moved so that many of our politicians don't root their primary leadership and their primary sense of American patriotism strictly in the military. I've said for a long time, the same kind of goodness that we give to the people in the military and say thank you for your service, which I think we should really also partner with anybody in the military, our apology for having a war mentality that has put you at risk. Not only thank them for their service, if that's something you're confident in doing, but I think we should also apologize for having an attitude that puts their lives in risks and causes them to have to live in ways that's so harmful to their bodies and to their spirits. But I'm so glad that I wish we would extend the same thing to people who serve in every other way in our civic society, school teachers, people that work for the government in other areas. We tend to treat people who work in the government, whether that's for school systems, for the county government, for state government, city government, we tend to treat those people like somehow they got some winner deal of a job and that they're not actually offering themselves as service to the country as well. So I really think that we need to raise up the idea that people offer themselves in service to the country. And then when someone runs for office, we should appreciate the work that they do. So, all right. Thanks for my little rant on that one, Rich. Hey, Gary, I know you've been hanging on for a bit. Give us your thoughts here on
I agree with your last comment, Joe. My father was under Patton. He was universally cursed by the foot soldiers over there in North Africa. And MacArthur, Truman had to fire him for screwing up in Korea. But I was going to say, also, government workers, you know, they're watched like all the time, like they're under the thumb of the people for being government workers and and under the public eye. But, you know, these private workers, especially these CEO types, we pay for that in the products we buy them, hundreds of millions they rip off from us. But I was going to say, I like Klobuchar. I really don't know exactly how liberal she is. I know she's liberal. But she's a vote-getter. She gets people from all walks of the political spectrum, except for the Trump followers, to vote for her. She's a good vote-getter, and I think she might be the one. And I'd be leery of that Hildebrand out there, all that in Schumer, you know, they're all in the pocket of the bankers that carry the interest tax break to the bankers where they pay less than a lot of working people. We need bread and butter issues now. We need to rebuild the middle class.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate your listening and your constant calls and support. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Hey, David from Shakopee, you've got some thoughts about this, Warren, Klobuchar, and the other senators running.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we talk about, you know, the issues and all that stuff, but the real issue is the issue that we never talk about, and that's what really happened in 2016. I never hear anybody talk about it. They talk about how people stayed home and people didn't vote, but the truth is people did vote. They just didn't vote. The people that, you know, shifted the election in 2012 didn't shift the election in 2016 because Gary Johnson got 3 million more votes in 2016 than he got in 2012, and Jill Stein got 1 million more votes. That was 4 million people. The problem is that people were sick of the status quo. They're sick of the same old, same old. And let's be honest, that's what Hillary was. She was the same old, same old.
For sure.
She wasn't going to make any major changes.
That's right.
But so I'm really worried that if we don't address the real issue, which is the status quo, that Trump's going to win in 2020. If we just keep talking about, oh, this issue and he's terrible and all that other stuff, people are going to either vote for the third-party candidates because they're sick of the Democrats and the Republicans, or they're just going to stay home. And that's what I'm worried about, is because I don't hear anybody really talking about how to engage people who have lost faith in the two political party system and who have lost faith in the system itself and have either checked out completely or gone over to other parties. And until we deal with that, I don't see how we can ever win.
Do you feel like there's any chance that those voters that feel that thing I think you're articulating so well, and I've heard it too, and I agree with you, that people who feel that the status quo is what they're voting against, that they want to see some movement, especially at the presidential level, is there any democratically endorsed candidate that could bring those people in? Like, are they swayable by the personality or the pedigree of a particular candidate that would bring them back from the Gary Johnsons or Jill Stein?
If you look at Hillary, I mean, let's be honest. She was the most qualified presidential candidate in history. Nobody had ever been in the White House in the way that she had before. So I don't think qualifications matter. I think it's going to be charisma for one, but they're going to have to, I think the people are going to have to see this person as an outsider. If they don't see them as an outsider, I don't see them being able to draw what, God forbid, what Donald Trump draws. You know,
I can't stand the guy, but
I mean, I understand. I talk to these people that I work with, and I get it. They're fed up.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Sick of the same old stuff.
Right. People think about Donald Trump the way they.
And I don't see any Democratic candidate currently that can convince them otherwise.
Yeah, they think about him in the way that people who have to have some sort of an invasive medical treatment think about
now,
it.
I hate to bring this up, you know, but I think some of them would have gone with Bernie had he
gone. Oh, for sure.
You know, again,
for
let's
sure
be
they
honest,
would have.
Bernie spent 30 years keeping the Democrats at arm's length, saying I'm not a Democrat, and then when he decided to run for president, expected that political machine to get behind him. And that wasn't going to happen. That was just
foolish. And that's my question about, I mean, just the sheer realities of the Democratic Party, It's not entirely clear to me that we Democrats, if one finds themselves comfortable in that category, that we Democrats will fall in line the way the Republicans, who some of whom said about Donald Trump, he's the biggest mistake, he's a fraud, he's a huckster, and then they just fall in line and say he's the president. I'm not sure that Democrats can get themselves to do that in the current stage of Democrats. That's a thing that I don't know.
I agree with you. I don't think they can either. But I think that's also part of the thing with Barack Obama when he was elected in 2008 was he was new to the scene for many people. He wasn't somebody who'd been around for a long time, and they believed that he was not status quo.
That's what I'm looking for, open change.
So. And then the second he got elected, he became the compromiser in chief.
There wasn't a compromise
that he wasn't willing to make. So, I mean, he campaigned as a fighter, but he didn't govern as one.
Yes, I'm sorry to say that about him.
I love the guy. I think he's one of the coolest guys ever. And he's brilliant. But he was looking, you know, we should have known when he said that, you know, his favorite book was, what was the Thing of Rivals?
About the Lincoln administration. Yeah.
You know, we should have known that's how it was going to go. But I do think what we're looking for and what we need.
Yeah, thank you, David. I appreciate your call a lot. And I think David brings up a great point that I believe what we also need is we really do need somebody who's going to their personality, charisma, life is going to grab people's attention. And people will say, well, this person's somehow going to be a bit different. I think that's crucially important. It's one of the things I don't see in Senator Klobuchar. But hey, Mark, if you can hold on, we'll get back to you here after the break. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, where are you? Computer Revolution with cell phone repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
Stop and listen for a second. Do you hear that? It's peace, quiet, and tranquility. After a busy holiday season, that's what you'll experience at Big Bear Lodge just off the Gunflint Trail. There's always an abundance of snow and winter activities like ice fishing, snowshoeing, snowmobiling, and world-class cross-country skiing. Then cozy up in one of Big Bear Lodge's guest rooms or authentic woodsy cabins. Come find your smile at Big Bear Lodge. More at BigBearLodgeMN.com.
Hey, Minnesota, this is David Pakman. You can hear my show every weeknight at 9, right after the broadcast on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. With the road trips we took in December, we're glad we took them in our Toyota Sienna. Whether they're family, friends, or get-togethers, the Sienna was always the most comfortable way to drive. Plenty of room for all the stuff we needed to take with us, the safety and reliability you get with a Sienna, the extras which make road trips easy, and the room to stretch on out. Rudy Luther Toyota Siennas are the most fun, safe, and reliable vehicles we've ever driven. Test drive one yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Hey, welcome back to AM 950, listeners. 4:50 in the afternoon on the second day of how we count the calendar. Calling this the second day of 2019. Hey, Brett, I think a lot about how the calendar, you know, was put together, the Julian calendar we're on, or the Gregorian calendar, whatever. It's super amazing that, like, it works when you throw in the leap years. Like, the math that had to go into setting a calendar so that the 2nd of January would feel like the 2nd of January, because without a leap year in there and the little adjustment every 7 years of adding a day to February, you know, with an extra day, without that, eventually January would be what in the time frame that we now call July, right? It would just be chaos. Like, it would be, there would be no year to year. It's actually quite amazing that humanity has figured out how to live by a calendar. It's because it's not as simple as, because what makes it amazing is that you have to have this little workaround in there. You have to have the leap year workaround for the whole thing to work. So it's awfully impressive. And every time there's a new year, I always think, hey, good for those people figuring out that calendar.
I'm still confused on how the leap year works, how you can have 66 days in a 66. Year? That might be a question for Paul Wallace, I think, on Friday. How exactly,
you know what,
that works.
Let's do it. Let's bring it up and ask him. And it turns out I've looked into it before, and it does things to my brain because I'm not a math person the way some of them are. But it's a long math problem that you realize we'll talk about it on Friday. But I think it's because of the oblong nature of the pathway of the Earth, of the Earth's orbit, that's what's doing it. Yeah, but kind of amazing. Hey, I have two things that I want to add into what I would love to see happen in 2019. Some things I'm longing for. I'm going to eat more chocolate from Chocolat Celeste. I don't know if we've talked about this since my show last week that we did from the boutique over at Chocolat Celeste. Unbelievable. Have you ever eaten that chocolate? People hear they advertised all the time here on the station, but it's unbelievable.
I was lucky enough when she recorded her spots a while back. She came into the studio and was good enough to bring some chocolates with. And I listened to part of your show, and you were describing how Robert Pilot had the same reaction. I was the very same way. I've never tasted anything like that, because it's not like, oh, now I got to have six more of these little chocolates. No, you feel satisfied after one.
Yeah,
it's very fulfilling. Yeah.
It's the opposite of what happens when I eat other chocolates, where I just want to eat more. It's like I couldn't have another bite. I'm stuffed. It's insane. It should be like a chocolate weight loss program for people. Eat a half of one of these little guys, and you won't eat sweets for a day.
I wonder if that'd work if you have your chocolate craving. You just have one of those things.
Yes. Oh yeah. And a half of one. So I'm going to make that commitment. And then I have a longing for other people too, especially some people in the city of Minneapolis, people everywhere, but especially the city of Minneapolis. The people would shovel their God-loving sidewalks. I mean, it's unbelievable. I was glad to see an article in the Star Tribune about this, Minneapolitans have become less neighborly in shoveling their neighbors' sidewalks, which, you know, fair enough if people don't want to be out shoveling each other's sidewalks, but shovel your own, people. It's unbelievable. This last little like sleet snow we got 2 weeks ago, you try walking around some sidewalks in the city of Minneapolis, and about every fourth house, I don't know if they're just gone or if they're just landlords, and I'll bring up landlords because I was one for 10 years. Oftentimes landlords don't take care of their own sidewalks. They don't pay someone, and the tenants are like, I'm not doing it. But we have all these sidewalks that aren't shoveled. So, oh my gosh, I don't know what the answer is. I have become someone who now calls the city 311 when there's an unshoveled driveway. I don't know that always brings about the driveway being shoveled, but it's better than yelling at the sky and thinking, that's going to help get somebody's sidewalk shoveled. So if you're in Minneapolis and you can do anything about making someone's 2019 dreams come true, one of mine is that people would clear their sidewalks. Drives me crazy. It's just downright dangerous. And I'm an able-bodied person. You know, I get along quite fine. I can sit on an exercise ball during an entire radio show. I can walk sidewalks and climb over the curbs and you know, shuffle carefully. There's a lot of people who can't. They're on crutches or on wheelchairs. Their legs don't work so well. Their eyes don't work so well. It's a freaking, it's unbelievable. So I think we've slipped in this. pun intended. I think we've fallen down on taking care of our sidewalks. And I think the city of Minneapolis and Mayor Fry and your gang, I think you need to get on this. And let's make Minneapolis a place where we're proud of the sidewalks, because it's getting just downright ridiculous. So that's my thought. If you want to squeeze one in before the end of the hour, your thoughts about 2019, some hopes you have, 952-946-6205. That's the phone number that Mark in Fridley called. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Doug, I hope Santa Shelley got you the Bruce Springsteen Broadway box set.
Oh, my friend, I went and saw it live, and I've watched it already once, and I'm going to have a showing at my house on the 19th
of January. How much did you pay for the tickets?
That's one of the things.
$1,300.
Well, I didn't pay $1,300, but I will tell you that it was more than $650, because that was the amount that I had said I was willing to pay, and I had to pay more than that. That
okay,
insane.
Let's follow up on what
Isn't
David
that
had
insane?
To say, because we got a lot of ground to cover here. Number one, if Trump thinks he would be a good general, then why did he pay off his dad to pay off a doctor in one of his tenement apartment buildings to get a deferment out of Vietnam?
You got
generals like Doug MacArthur and Eisenhower and Patton and Smedley Darlington Butler, who said that our economy is a war economy and we're bred in the artificially induced psychosis of war hysteria and incessant propaganda of fear. Yeah. So Donald Trump,
that's a quote.
Almost said it. You almost had to beat me. You had your shot, and you took the coward's route. So
that is a great line. Yeah. You had your chance if you really thought you would be a great general. And in fact, for a number of years, not just dodging the draft as you did by saying that your feet, had bone spurs. At any point, you could have. Joined the Air Reserves, the National Guard. You could have enlisted if you really thought your contribution to the country should be as a general. You've had plenty of chances for that.
And I, it should be people's civic obligation to go see the movie Vice. I did it over the weekend. You know, it's pretty
all right.
Good.
Is it good? Now, Mark, I was planning to see it tonight, and I was reading some responses from people, and I heard different things. I heard people saying, look, I'm no Cheney fan. I went there for it not to, I wanted to take one on Cheney, take one on the chin. But this is just so far from reality. It's more of a fictional sort of spoof about his life. Is that how you read it?
You have to understand how psychological operations work and what is soon to be forthcoming. The things that General Butler and General Patton and General Eisenhower and General MacArthur warned us about is this artificially induced psychosis, and things like movies and TV news and social media have everything to do with that. And I just wanted to touch base before we end. I was asked to do a podcast on Friday night about Paul Wellstone, and I'm going to do that. And when you talk about presidential candidates for Minnesota, Eugene McCarthy is a person not a lot of people know a lot about, but he had a great quote. With a lot of sentiments of what Dave had to say, because had the DNC gotten out of the way of Bernie Sanders, he would have
been the president. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Hey, Mark, thanks for running up that heartbreak. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.